And so for the next couple of weeks, today, next week, and the following week, it seems like our attendance is going to be a little bit low. But for you today, that's actually good news. And the reason is because it's Hedgehog Sunday. So a little less competition today for the hedgehogs. And if this doesn't make any sense to you at all, let me explain to you what Hedgehog Sunday means. A couple of months ago, I told a story of being able to take my daughters, very young, this was like almost 30 years ago, to the hedgehog factory where they actually made this delicious hedgehog chocolate. And we got to see the production line from beginning to end, the raw chunks of chocolate in the beginning, right through melting and adding all the ingredients, right to the finished product in the end. And we talked about, at that point, how creating a signature product takes some planning. You actually have to think about what the ingredients are, and you have to have a production line that's going to allow you to put all the ingredients together. And I suggested at that time that Mountain Park 2 is a factory, that our product is wholehearted followers of Jesus Christ. And that in order to make wholehearted followers of Christ, we need those same two factors. We need good quality ingredients, and we need a production line. We need a factory, a process of putting all these things together. And so we talked about our base ingredients at that point as being these four banners that we have: following, discerning, showing mercy, in community. And so these things are the base ingredients of a wholehearted follower of Jesus Christ. So that's our production line. You can imagine the wholehearted follower scrolling across. Can you see that? Anyways, we're trying. So what we need is a signature recipe for each of these base ingredients. And our prize this morning is for someone, and I'm going to ask you to raise your hands, and I'm going to lean towards the youth on this one today, just to cheat a little bit. But what are our signature ingredients of a wholehearted follower of Christ? We've been talking about this for 4 weeks. We've talked about four of the signature ingredients of following, specifically. And tonight we're going to talk, or today we're going to talk about the fifth element. But really what we're saying is that wholehearted followers of Jesus it needs to have a specific recipe. And to say that followers of Jesus follow Jesus, that's about as descriptive as saying hedgehogs are made of chocolate, right? Of course they're made of chocolate. All chocolates are made of chocolate, and all followers of Jesus follow Jesus. It doesn't mean anything unless we have a signature recipe. And so we've been talking about what blend of chocolate specifically do we use. What blend of ingredients does it mean for us to be followers of Christ? And so, is there anybody who would dare to try to give us the ingredients of what it means to be a follower, which is basically the sermon titles for the last 4 weeks? Okay, and I'm not going to ask over here because you've had your chocolates. I know it's not easy, but we're trying to get at learning the big picture here. Okay, all right. Anna Marie in the back. So Sean's going to interpret. That's part of it, but I'm not going to go. Yes. No, fruits of the Spirit. That's good. We're willing to try anything here, aren't we? I love the enthusiasm, though. Yes. All right, be with Jesus. Be like Jesus, do what Jesus did, and now do what Jesus did had three parts to it. Can you remember what those are? But you've already... Yeah, well done, Spencer. So we're talking about, now we're talking about do what Jesus did, and we said the first thing he did was that he used meals, right, to create space for the kingdom. Last week we talked about distinct living as demonstrating the power and the presence of the kingdom. And today we're going to talk about a third element, which is proclaiming the kingdom. So thanks so much. One of my goals here is that you see the big picture. So I'm going to keep coming back to the big picture every once in a while. And I want to show you all the signature ingredients. So with Jesus, like Jesus, do what Jesus did, part one, meals. Part two, distinct living. And then part three, we're going to talk about proclaiming the kingdom. And so if you can imagine all of those being written on this first sign following. Okay, so that's where we're going. And I want to show you, Alyssa, could you switch to my laptop, please? So I want to show you where all this material is. So this is our website. This is the last landing page of our website. At the top right, we have a following button. So that's our first banner. And if you go in there, if I go in there, here we go. So you've come to a following landing page, okay? And then you have be with Jesus, be like Jesus, do what Jesus did, part 1, 2, and 3. I'm going to go into the one we did last week because this will be hopefully the most fresh in your memory. And what you'll find in there, first of all, is a summary of what the teaching is, okay? And we talked about the difference between how Jesus demonstrated the presence of the kingdom by as a king as opposed to how we do it as citizens of the kingdom. He did it establishing his identity as king, and we do it by our distinct difference. It says here, our radically different lives, okay? How we live radically different from the kingdom of this world. We talked about three ways of doing it. Our loving community, how we live together in our home groups, in our life groups. We talked about countercultural living, that Jesus asks us to do things that are just contrary to this world. Love your enemies and other things like that. And again, there's a list of those. And then the third one is the fruit of the Spirit. And it's not just the fruit of the Spirit when we're with other Christians and you're supposed to love and joy and peace and all those things that are not that difficult when we're with other believers. But what about in the context of people where we're facing oppression and difficulty and with our enemies? Wow, then the power of the Holy Spirit to demonstrate the fruit stands out as radically different. And so at the bottom of this, you'll find some questions for your spiritual formation. How you can reflect. How is my life distinct because of that? Then you'll see a button at the bottom, which is a paper version of everything that's on the website. So you can download that. You can use it as a discussion group for your Bible study and your home groups. You can use it in your own devotional. And if you're thinking, boy, I there was something in the message that I wanted to hear, you can actually tap on the last link and the message is loaded there for you as well. So everything for every week is on the website. The teaching, the outline, a PDF, and some reflection questions. Now let me just go back to our landing page to show you, again, this is the following landing page. And at the bottom, there's a list of resources, different books that I've referenced. John Mark Comer's, The Way, Vanderstelt. And I'm going to take you down to the bottom. David E. Fitch, this is a new book I'm going to reference this morning. But if you go in there for each one of these, if you go to it, it'll give you a link of where you can buy the book. Okay, this one is on Amazon, because I couldn't find it at House of James. We're trying to support local, so all the other lists are House of James, so you can pick up the book there, order it there. But this one they didn't carry, so we put the Amazon link in instead. And so all of these resources available to you every week. And so, Alyssa, let's go back to the other. So the idea is that we have all these resources available to us all the time. And we're actually shaping not just the ingredients, but we're shaping a factory. And so over time, you're going to see different how we're organizing ourselves differently. But this material will become our membership material. What does it mean to be a member at Mountain Park? Well, it means following and discerning and all the things inside there. So we're building a very distinct identity of what it means to be a follower of Jesus Christ. And again, my hope is that you'll see the big picture, not just all the individual lessons along the way. But today, let's come back to our final study on the topic of following. And we're going to talk about what it means to proclaim the kingdom. After today, we will have finished following. Okay, we won't come to discerning until September. Okay, so we're going to put this on hold for 14 weeks. We've got a fishing retreat, we've got a men's retreat, we've got missionaries all through June, and then we've got an outdoor service and grad. And then for the summer, we're going to be showing the Alpha series, in preparation for hosting an Alpha ministry again this fall. And the idea is that you will be familiar with the material and you'll say, oh, this is so good. I could easily invite one of my neighbors to this because it's really well done. And so this is part of equipping you for inviting people for the fall. And we're going to be praying through the summer about people we could invite. So that's where we're going. So let's pick up today on proclaiming the kingdom of God. One of the things that, again, big picture, that I hope that you've noticed is that everything that we've said about being a follower of Jesus and how we follow Jesus, it's all about relationships. It's talking about being with Jesus as friends with Jesus. Remember the priority where Jesus said, hey, I no longer call you servants, I call you friends. It's about a relationship with Jesus. And then being like Jesus, we said, is like him in love, how he loved the Father with his heart, soul, mind, and strength, and he told us to love that way, how he loved sinners and ate meals with them, how he told us to love one another, how he told us to love our enemies, and then his final commandment just before his crucifixion was a new commandment I give you that you love one another. So to be like Jesus is to love like Jesus loved, every relationship. And then we talked about how we use meals to create space for the kingdom. Meals, including the Lord's table, that creates space for believers. Meals in our homes so that we come together in fellowship. Meals where we can invite our neighbors so that they can experience kingdom community together. And the meals in the homes, just to set this up a little bit, that's beginning to establish the factory. That's where these ingredients start to come together. So we're going to talk more about homes in the fall and home groups and raise the value of that. But coming together in our homes for meals is a really significant part of the factory where the ingredients come together. Then we talked about, again, last week, distinct living demonstrates the power of the kingdom. Well, we do that in the context of people that don't know Christ so that they will notice it's about relationships again. And the same is true this morning for our final element, which is proclaiming the kingdom. It's highly relational. And I want to introduce one more resource, a book that I have appreciated. The author's name is David Fitch. Fitch teaches at Northern Seminary, just outside of the city, Chicago, in Illinois, just minutes from where Melissa and I lived for a number of years. In my previous role, we used David Fitch as a resource. So I know him fairly well. I understand his theology. And he is the professor of evangelical theology. In other words, how do we proclaim good news theologically correct? That's what his title is. And he leads a church about the size of ours. He's a terribly influential writer, professor, and yet his congregation is about 100, intentionally, because he believes the community living in kingdom is part of the expression of the gospel. And so we used to bring churches, pastors from large churches in to see what biblical and kingdom community looks like in a small, intentionally small setting. And so there are some really good things that he has to say about that. In fact, one of the chapters in this book is titled Being with Children. And the content basically talks about how important it is for us to have children in worship with us once in a while. That this is a formative thing, not just for children, but for us. In fact, in their church, everyone is part of the children's ministry. Being with children is part of your spiritual formation. Jesus taught about how important it is for us to become like children. Well, we need to spend time with them. And so he has some really great ideas. Today, I'm going to take a quote from chapter 3, which is a chapter on proclaiming the gospel. And here's what he says. The gospel is the announcement that God has fulfilled the promise of scriptures to make the world right in Jesus. The gospel is the announcement that God has fulfilled what he said in the prophets, in the Old Testament. He said the world will get better. It'll be right when the Messiah comes. Things will be set right. And that the announcement is that he has fulfilled that promise. What a great promise.
So that's what the gospel is. Then he says the proclaimer, which is you and me. The proclaimer describes the world as it is under Jesus and then invites the person into it. So our job is to describe the world as we experience it under Jesus and then invite someone else into that same experience. That's what proclaiming the gospel is. And so the question today is very simple. What is right in your world because you live in the kingdom of God? What is right in your world because the kingdom of God exists? And this reframing of what the gospel is and proclaiming the gospel, this is going to take some rethinking for us. I want us to learn this morning a new understanding of what it means to proclaim the gospel. Because I think we tend to assume that proclaiming the gospel is sharing the four spiritual laws, or it's sharing some kind of a bridge illustration where we're separated from God and the cross is this bridge, or we use the Romans road, and those are all good and appropriate. But that's not what Fitch is talking about, and that's not what I'm talking about this morning. It's important, I believe, that we understand the difference between the four spiritual laws and the way you describe your life because the kingdom of God has come. The first four spiritual laws, it's very cerebral. It's doctrine. It's important. But the second is very experiential. It's your experience. It's your testimony of what is right. And those are two very different things, different categories. The four laws, if you understand them, they try to explain the doctrines of entry into the kingdom. The doctrines of entry: sin, salvation, the cross. These are things that we have to understand. They're laws about how you enter the kingdom. But your testimony is what describes your personal experience inside the kingdom. It's what makes people want to enter the kingdom. Now, both are really important. And so I don't want to exclude the four spiritual laws or anything like that. What I'm saying is, and what Fitch is saying is, that the kingdom story comes first. Your kingdom story, your compelling life, is what draws people to your table, in your room, in your home. Something about your life, because of the kingdom of God, is good, and it's inviting to people. In fact, the kingdom, by its very nature, is inviting. And when people develop a taste for the good, a taste for what they desire for themselves, at that point we can talk about the doctrine of entry. Here's how you enter the kingdom. There is the problem of sin, separation from God, and the cross is good news that separation is taken care of. But we need to create space first. And we do that by, again, sharing meals with our neighbors, spending time with them, which eventually leads to discussions of the cross. But that is not my experience growing up. That's not how I was trained. That's why, for me, this requires some retraining in my mind. I remember when I was young, I was being intentionally discipled in evangelism by one of my youth leaders. And we were taught that there are some things that are absolutely essential for people to understand if they're going to become followers of Christ. They have to understand the doctrines of sin and of repentance and of the cross. Of course, they're absolutely essential. And so what we would do is we would go to Stanley Park on a Saturday or a Sunday afternoon, and we'd politely as we could interrupt people's family picnics, and we would begin to explain to them the doctrines of sin and the cross and salvation. And if I interrupted one of your picnics, I apologize now. The heart is right, right? We're trying to do what's right. But I was trained to proclaim the doctrines of entry without first telling them a beautiful story about why they would want to enter. And so proclaiming the doctrines of entry without testifying for what is good ends up being largely ineffective and sometimes even offensive to people. And so it actually can be counterproductive to the invitation we're trying to extend. And I want you to see that what we're talking about is proclaiming the kingdom as Jesus did. We're talking about doing what Jesus did. And he began with relationships with sinners. He shared meals with them. He would have been sitting with the people at the picnics in Stanley Park rather than walking from group to group. He proclaimed and lived something good and beautiful that people desired. And he never led with the doctrines of sin and judgment. And so the distinction we want to make from now on is not that one is right and one is wrong. That's not it. It's that one is first and one is second. That proclaiming the kingdom is talking about your experience of what is good and right about your life in the kingdom of God. 1 Peter 3:15. Always be prepared to give an answer to everyone who asks you to give a reason for the hope that you have. So what's the reason that you have hope? How is your life better because the kingdom of God has come and you are a citizen of God's kingdom? Can you think of practical things? I began to wonder this week if we tend to take our answers to these questions for granted. And what I mean by that is we're so used to them that we hardly notice them anymore. The benefits that we have as living as God's kingdom people, they're so regular for us that we begin to take them for granted. And I wonder if that might even be a strategy of Satan. If he can convince us to forget how different our lives were, he's really causing us to lose our ability to proclaim the presence of the kingdom because we've forgotten what is different. And so we lose grip on our testimony. And so if these things are not clear in our minds, how can we tell the good news? How can we proclaim the kingdom if we don't have stories in our own minds? And so the teaching this morning is really simple, okay? The teaching is simply this, that proclaiming the kingdom is talking about our experience of living in the kingdom. That's what proclaiming the kingdom is. The hard part is this, the work is this. Recalling our stories, taking time and thinking about it, and then being prepared to tell a story that would fit whatever situation our neighbor brings up. And so we're going to spend a little time thinking about our stories this morning. I'm going to put a couple of prompts up on the screen in a minute. These are different things that describe out of Scripture. Jesus said the kingdom is going to come and it's the day of the Lord's favor. It's good, okay? So these are things that are good about the kingdom. And what I want you to think about is, can you match a story, an experience in your life to maybe all of these different categories? So here's some examples. Let's start with Isaiah. Jesus quoted Isaiah, you'll recall. He picked up the scripture and he said these things and he said, hey, today this is fulfilled. He talked about good news for the poor. So have you ever experienced God's provision for you in a way that just, I mean, clearly it was God? That would be a testimony of God's kingdom. Freedom for the prisoners. Is there something from which God has set you free? Do you have a story? Recovery of sight to the blind. Do you see things differently in the kingdom of God? Jesus said very often, those who have eyes to see will see, and those who have ears to hear, blessed are those people. We often talk about the kingdom as a lens, that you see life differently through the lens of the kingdom. And so can you see life differently? Can you explain what's different? He talked about setting the oppressed free, that God may have released you from some kind of weight. Some people talk about, oh, when I came to the Lord, I felt like this weight was taken off my shoulders. What was that weight specifically? Jesus also spent a lot of time describing the kingdom in the Sermon on the Mount. So I'm just going to pick a couple examples out, but certainly not an exhaustive list, but just from the Beatitudes, I'll choose one. He said, blessed are those who are mourned because they're going to be comforted. Have you ever experienced that? What's your story of mourning and then the comfort of God in the middle of that? He talked about laying up treasures in heaven. And friends, this is about how hard it is for us to break out of the worldly pattern of coveting things, that we have to have them for ourselves. But if we're able to lay up treasure in heaven, that means the coveting is gone. Do you have a story about the freedom that comes from laying up treasures in heaven? Or Jesus talked about, don't worry about tomorrow. We all have examples of things to worry about for tomorrow, but can you tell a story where you were able to let that go and just release that to God, freedom from worry? And at the very end, Jesus uses he sums up the whole Sermon on the Mount by talking about the house that's built on the sand and the house that's built on the rock. And I think what he's saying there is that you put all these things together and you have the stability of life. You experience the faithfulness of God in situation after situation, no matter what kind of storms come. And friends, the point is that all the hard things that you've experienced in life, your neighbors are experiencing these same things. They experience them outside of the kingdom. But what does your life speak to? How is it different because you're citizens of the kingdom? How can you speak proclaiming the kingdom in your life in that situation? So we're going to take a few minutes in breakout groups this morning. We haven't done this for a while, so we're going to get back into that. So take a few minutes, and we're going to put all these examples up on the screen. Both lists we'll put up there just as prompts. And I hope that you'll have more than one story from that list, okay? I hope that you can see a number of ways that you've seen the kingdom in your life. But choose one. And don't tell a five-minute story. We don't have time for that. But in groups of maybe five, could you choose one and just tell one story of how you can proclaim the presence of the kingdom in your life? You have seen evidence that God and His kingdom are real for you. Let me just kind of tie a bit of a bow on this thing to wrap it up and just hopefully to help it make sense together. So we're talking about how do we proclaim the gospel? How do we proclaim the gospel of the kingdom? And effective proclamation happens when we're paying attention to what's happening around us, paying attention to the lives of the people that God has put us in touch with. And so three quick points on this. Number one, pay attention to the conversations around you where there's some need being expressed. So for example, my neighbor, we're talking in the driveway and he'll share a story about a medical concern that they don't have an answer for, and it's that sense of worry. I've been there. How did the kingdom of God make an impact on me? How can I share my experience of something like that? I have another friend who's, talking about how frustrated he is with material possessions. They just don't satisfy, and he can't figure out why. And I'm going, oh, I know why. Let me tell you about freedom from coveting and what the kingdom of God is like. And so there are situations, if we'll pay attention, to see where we can actually speak into these conversations. The second thing is to share your experiences rather than your doctrine. This isn't a teaching moment. This is a sharing of your story moment. And I'm reminded of the classic story, Jesus heals the demoniac and sends the demons into the pigs, and they run into the sea, and he wants to follow Jesus. He wants to get in the boat with him and actually leave, and he says, no, not up on the screen, but this is what he said to him, go home to your friends and tell them how much the Lord has done for you and how he has had mercy. And so it says he went away and began to proclaim how much Jesus had done for him, and everyone marveled. It's the power of what Jesus has done for you that proclaims the presence of the kingdom. It has power, it has testimony. And we all have stories to tell. And so learning to bring them to mind and to recognize opportunities to share those stories. And then the third thing, if you'll remember, I said in Fitch's definition, it was like proclaimers were seeing areas where we can proclaim the presence of the kingdom in our lives and then invite people in. So the third part is that we actually invite people to experience the same kind of community that we have. Invite them into your home for a meal. Invite them to your home group. Again, this is where the factory starts becoming formative. We're creating spaces for the kingdom to actually produce the product that we're after. So home groups is one place where they can meet other believers who also have stories to share. And then the other thing you can invite them to is our Alpha course. Again, it's interesting that these two begin with meals. People telling stories, creating safe space, and then we start talking about what the kingdom of is like, what kingdom of God is like. So all of these ways, paying attention, sharing your story, not teaching, just sharing your story, and then inviting them to know and to meet other believers, invite them into the kingdom community. So coming back to our summary slide, we have talked about what it means to be with Jesus, be like Jesus, to do what he did in these three different ways. This is our distinct definition, our signature recipe for following. And I want you to see it as a whole, how all of these pieces fit together. And when you see it as a whole, you can begin to say, you know, here's one piece of that I think I may need to go back and look at again. And again, all of the resources are on the website. Everything is there. Study questions, application, listen to the messages again. But take some initiative to learn the big picture is what I want to encourage you to do. With that, let me close in prayer, and then we'll ask Nick to come up and lead us in one closing song. Father, we recognize that the calling to be like you is perhaps a little bit different than what we have imagined, and that proclaiming the kingdom might be a little bit different than certainly what I was taught when I was young. And we recognize the importance of relationships with you, with our neighbors, with our enemies, with one another, and how all these relationships come together in proclaiming the kingdom of God. How it all fits so beautifully in the context of loving one another and loving our neighbors. And so I would ask this morning, Father, specifically that you would help us to see the big picture. Help us to be reminded of our stories. Prompt us to see situations, conversations with friends, coworkers, fellow students, whatever the setting, where we could share the same story through the lens of the kingdom and proclaim how good and right life is when Jesus is Lord and King. Teach us this, we pray in Jesus' name. Amen. Friends, we are God's kingdom people. May we always be prepared to give a reason for the hope that is within us. Amen.